This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Tea with Gary V is finally back. Q&A for the next hour, straight here on Tea with Gary V.
First up, we'll have Nicole.
Nicole.
Good morning, or I should say good evening from Melbourne, Australia, which is where I'm from.
I love it. Well, welcome and thank you for being the first question on the reboot of the show. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. I'm a bit nervous, but I'm so excited. So
good. Fire away.
So something that you've always said, which has really resonated with me, is being the bigger person is always right. And it's something that you've definitely like reiterated a lot, and it's something I've tried to apply to my own life.
Yes.
But how do you be the bigger person without rewarding bad behavior?
By delivering candor. You know, being the bigger person doesn't mean look the other way. Being the bigger person is having the capacity to not counter bad behavior with more bad behavior.
Yeah.
Good behavior is empathy and candor. Bad behavior is someone does something evil to you and you spend all your time trying to be evil to them. Someone does something disrespectful to you and you want to be disrespectful to them. Someone does something to you and you're spiteful and try to get them back. So being the bigger person is not being complacent and being and looking the other way and burying it and building resentment or being a pushover. This goes back to nice guys finish last. They don't finish last. They finished first, because what's happening in this scenario is when someone is doing quote unquote bad behavior, and not your subjective bad behavior because you're selfish about something. No, we survey all the thousands of people that are watching this right now and ask people, you know, what they think, you know, and they all agree with you. That bad behavior, that requires, I saw somebody put radical candor. I think it requires kind candor. You know, empathetic, sympathetic, compassionate, like you are not in a good place. And we are here to try to address that, you know. And so, you know, to me, being the bigger person is having the mental and emotional strength to go above the other person's behavior, but also being able to protect yourself. So for me, being the bigger person is I'm going to try to give. I'd love to do the right thing here. But there is always a tipping point. There's always a time to fire, to cut out, to break up. But the key is not being triggered in return. I promise you, for all the people that are watching right now, if you counter bad behavior with bad behavior, you're not in a great place. You yourself are not in a great place. And I know this to be true. This is perfect timing. My New York Jets are having a devastating season. And at Jet games, I'm incapable of the things I'm speaking about here because I'm in a bad place. I'm in full tilt. I'm frustrated. I have 40 years of unhappiness. And in that mindset, in that perspective, I'm the worst version of myself. And I'm not kidding about this. I think people are tongue in cheek, think I'm being tongue in cheek. I am able to understand frustration, losing, unhappiness, not feeling in control, all the emotions that people feel about politics, feel about relationships, feel about bosses, feel about work, feel about governments. The only place I'm able to feel that is being a sports fan of a specific team. And so I'm aware of what it feels like to not have the capacity to be the bigger person or put things in perspective. And I know it, you know, for me, I'm very happy that the one place that I don't have that emotional control is something as silly as an American football game. But people bring that same energy to real life. And that's something I like talking about. And that's the answer to your question. Do not confuse being the bigger person with complacency and enablement of bad behavior.
Yeah, very true.
Are you willing to go further? What are you dealing with right now in this exact scenario? Or is it a little too private at this point?
No, that's fine. Probably a few different aspects of my life. I think with friends, that's probably where it gets more personal.
I mean, with friends, and this is someone who struggled with candor his whole career and life, it's about telling them. And by the way, I had a conversation this weekend with a friend about it. I've been able to really build this weekend. I told one of my friends, ironically, at the Jets game about something that happened the prior week. And it's huge. I wasn't able to 7 years ago deliver with calmness and kindness, candor. I would just let it sit.
Yeah.
And that, to your point, that would enable more bad behavior, which led to resentment, which would lead to fraction. right?
Yeah.
You can deliver the news and you can do it nicely.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, be prepared for them to counter because they're not ready to hear that with more venom. And then you got to be even nicer, being the bigger person.
Yeah, I think that's where
I understand, Sarah, that you're not ready to hear this. I love you. Yeah. But this one thing you do is hurting my feelings.
Yeah, I think that's where it gets a bit tricky.
I'm telling you, it's candor.
Okay.
But it's kind candor, Nicole.
Yeah.
Empathy.
Okay.
Understanding that there's a bigger thing happening there to why they're doing bad behavior, that their mom taught her that bad behavior, her dad, something in her real life. Maybe people become envious and jealous because they're hurt. You know, maybe you're in a good relationship and they're not. Like, you know, there's a million things out there. So anyway, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Hope to meet you one day.
Let's keep going, Dustin.
Gary Vaynerchuk, my man. How you doing, brother?
Justin, I've been better. My football season is over before October 1st. I did not anticipate that with this summer of hype.
Well, as a Packer fan, I get the pain. So, and with your star quarterback going down, I feel that pain as well because obviously it took him from me.
Just, did you watch Aaron Rodgers win that Super Bowl for you as a Packer fan when you were a kid?
Back in 2011, right? Yeah. 2010, 2000, yeah, I did. I just joined the Navy at that point. Was super excited. I was a big time Packer fan. We just won. I thought we were gonna go on to years of success. And
just so you know, you don't feel my pain. We are not the same.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've won a Super Bowl. You've been to a Super Bowl. You have tons of success with Aaron. The Jets are the longest team without a playoff appearance in all four major sports. I've watched every play since 1982. It is my one passion that matters to me at any kind of level. You do not feel my pain.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's going to get better, Gary. He's got to stick with it. It's going to get better.
I get it. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an honor, man. I don't know if you remember, but I was actually on your call-in show, Gary V 240, back in 2017. So call-in show. Now we're in person. Another 6 years, I'll be there. So
real quick, for all the people that are watching and asking and trying to figure out how these incredible people got on the show, they follow Team Gary V's account on Instagram, and thus they were able to pay attention. Was there anything else we did? What's that? It was worthwhile updates. So it was just an Instagram thing. Yeah. Thank you. Going forward, we're going to take questions from my text messaging platform in the US. So that's 212-931-5731. Use the hashtag #TWithGaryV when you text me a question. Dust, you got to be on the ones and twos. I know you got this nice fancy design here. I don't know how you're going to do the pop-up, but you'll figure that out. And then for everyone international, you can DM Team Gary V at Team Gary V on Instagram. When you DM them with a question, you can use hashtag #TWithGaryV if you want to be on the show, as we are now bringing this show back. Justin, go ahead.
So kind of a two-part question. As a startup business, I do water treatment. So we're very heavily inventory-based. And especially at the beginning, as you know, dollars matter. And especially when you're inventory-based, a lot of that money really goes towards equipment and a little bit of marketing. So in those early, first 1 to 2 year stages with limited cash flow, how would you, one, allocate dollars to, SEO, SMO, traditional marketing signs, door knocking, word of mouth? And then the second part of that question is, when you were, starting, VaynerMedia, and you didn't really have the Gary V brand yet. How did you really acquire good talent kind of in those early days?
Dust, make sure on the thing you got scrolling there, it also says use hashtag Team Gary V, because I get a ton of texts there anyway, and I want to be able to make sure me and the team can find them. Look, when you don't have a lot of capital and you want to spend some of it on marketing, you've got to figure out what really works best for you. So if you know how to do SEM or SEO, great. If you know how to do social media content, great. If you know how to hire some kids to do door knocking and give them a percentage of every lead, great. There is no right way of marketing. There's a right way of marketing for you. Are there right ways of marketing overall? Of course. Do I believe that social media content outperforms, other marketing styles? Sure. But if you're not good at it, then all of a sudden you've got a problem. As far as the Gary V stuff with the talent, I hired friends and family.
Yeah.
The first 5, 7, 8 employees were AJ's friends and Matt Sinemer, who worked for me at at Wine Library, and then answering some tweets of people that were willing to work for internships, like Nate Schroeder and John Troutman and Joe Whitmarsh. These people basically work for minimum wage. You know, people forget about my story. You know, not only did I not own Wine Library, not only did my dad not give it to me, my dad also didn't pay me much.
Yeah.
By the time I was 34, and I didn't start VaynerMedia in somebody else's conference room for free because I was cool, or I thought it was cool. It was because I didn't have any money, right? And so, I don't think people scrap enough. Like they waste, like people start a company and then they go get an office and it's 2023 and you can do it at home, right? And people go look for talent instead of grooming talent. A lot of times the talent are your friends and family and kids you went to high school with and things of that nature that, you know, don't have better options, and you're gonna build them up, you're gonna train them up.
Oh, yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. We've been kind of doing that. So my thing is we started really, you know, super cheap, and we're, you know, getting leads in, and, you know, now we're getting some cash flow in. The biggest thing is I obviously want to execute on the place that's going to bring more return on that money. And I've been doing
The problem is the return on the money is the variable of where's the best opportunity, but also what are you best at? Basketball players get paid way more than hockey players, but if you're incapable of playing basketball and you can get to the NHL playing hockey, you need to play fucking hockey. So the question really becomes you as the leader, and this is for everybody I'm watching, for Rima, for Omar Lara, for Denver Floor XX, for PDG, for Carla Bryan, for Mass Growers, all the people I see in the comments, right? There, yes, I believe in social media content. Yes, I believe in that over everything right now as an arbitrage. But if you're better at hiring people to door knock, or if you got trained for 10 years on SEO and SEM, you have to allocate a good percentage to that while learning how to do social media organic content in parallel with 20 to 40% of your energy. It's the allocations.
Right. No, and that makes sense, because we've been trying to kind of tackle that, because we actually got a big hit on TikTok. It actually blew us up pretty quickly. So we're really focusing on the social side, but also, you know, jab, right hook. I don't want to monetize too soon on that. So it's that balancing act.
Don't forget the right hook though. Yeah, I get the balance, but if you post 4 times a day or 3 times a day instead of once every 4 days, you can throw more right hooks.
Gotcha.
I got to go to the next one, Justin. I apologize. Love you, brother. Thanks for being on the show. Dr. JP, great to see you back here as well. Glad to be back with all of you. Deb, how are we?
Oh my gosh, I'm out of my mind. I'm so excited. How are you?
I'm well.
Okay, I'm so happy to be here. I know nothing about the Jets.
Let's just move on. I promise
Okay. So I'm 51.
Yep.
And started my Instagram with 0 followers when I stopped drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I broke up with your dad in last day of 2020.
If that's for you, then that's right.
What's that?
I said, that's right for you, it makes me so happy. Keep going.
It's been great. Okay, so I've grown my Instagram to a little bit over 100,000 followers in under 3 years. And I'm just building my Mocktail Mom business. And so my question for you is, if you were building a mocktail business, basically, I just love to encourage others that the fun's not over, that there's still good things to drink. And so what would you advise me to do to scale my business?
A couple things. Tea with Tosh. I see a long question there. I'm going to get the team to try to connect with you because I'm really excited about the Twitch Mafia. Everyone on Twitch, please say hello in the comments right now. Big shout out to the Twitch Mafia. Deb, it is content, content, content. Look, I think you're on trend. I think mocktails will continue to grow at scale.
Okay.
At scale for quite a while here. Okay. I think it's a huge movement. I think Gen Z and Gen Alpha will drink less or less often.
Yeah.
I see a future marketplace where I see a ton of people mocktailing Monday through Thursday.
Yep.
And maybe cocktailing on the weekend.
Yep.
So I think, you know, in general, I think you're on a massive trend. Sid just threw up your Instagram for me, right? I think, you know, the biggest thing, let me just see when was this posted? For example, 5 posts a day ago was posted. Six, I don't think you're posting enough. You know, I was able to go 5 or 6 posts back on Instagram that says 6 days ago. I think 2 posts a day on Instagram is a minimum. you know, I think two different ones or slightly different versions of the same thing on TikTok with a different thumbnail, with a different audio overlay because they're slightly different. Yep. YouTube Shorts, more.
Yep.
And then the encouragement will just come from the content.
Yeah.
You know, like because I posted more for a decade, more business people are willing to be nice.
Yep.
I see that every day, Deb. Every day I'm in the world.
Yeah.
I was in Utah this weekend, LA, Saudi Arabia, Australia. Where else have I been? Brazil. There's not a, and then every day in my email and DMs, thank you, Gary, for giving me permission to be nicer, even though I'm trying to make $1 trillion.
Yeah.
That is a byproduct of the content. You will encourage the behavior with the content.
Yep.
You know, communication dictates people's perspective.
Yep. Okay.
And so what I'm noticing is just more opportunity for more content.
Okay.
You know, I think finding ways to do that. I'm doing Tea with Gary Vee for more content.
Absolutely. Yep. I started a podcast. Yep. I started my Instagram. Yep. Started the podcast. Yeah.
So YouTube Shorts is a monster for you.
Okay.
I would look at Google Trends and Google to see what people are searching in Mocktail. Okay. And then I would title your YouTube Shorts that way. So they show up when people search them for YouTube. Okay. YouTube and Google for that matter. YouTube Shorts, Instagram, TikTok. I think LinkedIn's a monster for you, especially if you make Monday Mocktails where you talk about like, hey, you're working this week, you're on LinkedIn. Instead of drinking on Tuesday night, make this mocktail at home. You know, I think there's an enormous opportunity for you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. I love you so much.
Richard Blackwood's absolutely right. Oh no, he didn't say that. Sean Y I'm a huge fan for everybody who's watching to do events just to film it, just for the content. So things like that. Let's keep it going. Snoop Dogg is watching. Snoop D-O-double-G. Thank you for watching on the plane, my guy. One of the great entrepreneurs. Forget about the iconic hip hop artist. One of the great entrepreneurs in our world. Snoop is watching, Derek. Don't fuck it up.
I won't fuck it up, Gary. First of all, thank you for letting me come on and ask my question. A couple of months ago, we launched a mascot for my company. We started doing Comic Cons and live events and stuff. We do pro wrestling graphic design. I know you're a big pro wrestling fan.
Huge.
So, and I know you've been keeping up with what I've been doing the last couple of years, but we decided to do the mascot because we're starting to do live events and Comic Cons. So what do you think is the best way for me to market this mascot? I don't have like a full mascot outfit yet, but I do have a good backstory. Company's going on 11 years. I really credit a lot of the success of what you've done in your content over the years. So like I said, a little bit of insight on it's, I was kind of paying attention to the V Friends because that is kind of a company mascot.
How is the mascot sit in form right now? Do you have a 2D rendering, a 3D rendering? Do you have a puppet? Do you have a costume? Do you have an emoji? Do you have a filter that's AR? How do you have the mascot right now?
Right now I have it in 2D. I'm actually getting 3D figures printed out. We went the cheaper route with the 3D printing. So I have a batch of those in the works. I have a couple different t-shirt designs. I've rebranded the website.
I think the number one way to get a mascot going is in physical form. So, you know, if you look at what Duolingo is doing on social, full disclosure, we work with Duolingo in Latin America, I believe. The Duolingo mascot on TikTok. Do you know anything about that?
TikTok, no.
Okay, I want you to Google.
I'll have to look that up.
I want you to Google Duolingo mascot TikTok, and I want you to spend the day looking at what they're doing. I would spend a couple $1,000s to make a full mascot outfit so that you could have someone be the mascot in as much content as possible. That is the quickest way to build awareness around a mascot.
Gotcha. That's great advice. I was actually looking into the costumes, not a cheap thing, but it's definitely going to be worth it.
It's not a cheap thing, but it is the answer. And so I'd rather you sell $3,000 worth of stuff that's in your house right now on eBay and Facebook Marketplace. This is where people get fucked up. They're like, Gary, I don't have the money. I'm like, the money's sitting in the garbage in your house, the clothes you don't wear, the stuff in your basement, the stuff in your attic, right?
It is. And it's that pull to be like, is this worth more than the stuff in the house? And it always is in the long run.
Derek,
quick question. When are we going to get?
It's stuff in your house that you're not using.
That is true. So a quick question. When are we going to get you in a wrestling ring?
There's smoke. So when there's smoke, there's fire. Derek, I love you, brother. Let's move on to the next one. There's smoke.
Okay, man. Thanks.
I think I might have to like be Bobby the Brain. I feel like I need to be a manager at a big event, like a Bobby the Brain Heenan or Slick Rick or Captain Lou Albano. Here he is. Captain Lou Albano. If you know what that was, I fuck with you. All right, let's move on. Diana.
Hey, Gary V. Great to hear you again. I saw you in 2018 in Brisbane, in Australia. So yeah, you changed everything for me in terms of social media and marketing and completely shifted my understanding of it after coming out of diploma. So thank you. I'm so grateful for everything that you've shared. My question for you today is, it's for me now that I'm out of the corporate world and freelancing, and I'm seeing this with a lot of busy business owners who are wearing so many hats. And I just feel like so many people are stuck in this startup phase of their business. And I'd love any kind of advice that you have that can help people like bridge that gap between that startup phase and then that next level where you get to start building a team and start expanding and growing.
What's the question really in that, Diana? Like, is it words of encouragement for people that feel stuck?
I feel like what it is there's like a lack of like time potentially because they're doing so many different things. And I mean,
but that's how Microsoft and Facebook and Tesla and Walmart and I mean, Sam Walton literally was ringing up people at the register when he started Walmart.
Yeah.
Like to me, it's a lack of enjoyment of the early shit and mud process that actually fucks people up. They're not in love with their business. They're in love with what they think they're going to be able to buy for themselves from the business.
Mm.
This is why we have the greatest era of fake entrepreneurship right now, Diana.
Okay.
Like what do I say to people that are in that phase? Enjoy it because you'll look back on it as your favorite time. I mean, VaynerX is 2,000 people right now doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. And if I could get into a time machine and go back to Columbus Circle and be in Buddy Media's conference room with Dave Zhang and Marcus Krzastek and AJ and Sam Taggart and just trying to figure it the fuck out with the dirt and no revenue, I would do it like this. That's because I love the game.
Yeah.
The problem is that most people don't love the game. They're so like, they can't wait to hire, you know, someone else. One of the reasons, Diana, that I attack love your business, not what it can buy from you is, do you want to hear a secret about these people that you're talking to specifically?
Yeah.
All of them could hire somebody right now if they were willing to have less take home money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many people haven't hired someone because they'd rather take home $100,000 and buy some dumb shit versus taking home $55,000 and not buy dumb shit and then hire someone so that they could take home $200,000 next year? They're not investing in their business. They're investing in their money that they can buy stuff. I'm telling you, Diana, this is the big issue.
Yeah.
People are not willing to enjoy the shit phase and stay in it longer.
Mm.
They're in such a rush for the glam of it.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm telling you, I see it every fucking day. They want the Ferrari so bad that they're willing to take too much money out of the business to buy the Ferrari to show everyone that they're successful versus keeping the money in the business and hiring two more people. You know, people don't have the mindset of let me buy the Ferrari company instead of a Ferrari. It's just all short. It's all short. Most people can afford to hire someone sooner than they think. It's just that they don't have the humility to take less dollars. Earlier, I mentioned my father never paid me much. He didn't pay himself much either. The money went back into the business.
Yeah.
You know, the business wasn't there for us to buy toys. We were there to feed the business.
Yeah.
I'm grossly underpaid at VaynerX. How about that? Right now, as I sit here with you right now. Why? Because I'd rather hire more people and open more offices. I'd rather open the Middle East and Africa in the next 2 years than have a couple more dollars to buy some fucking toy that means nothing.
Yeah, it's making those choices, isn't it?
Yeah, and then people are gonna be like, Gary, you don't get it. Fuck toys. I'm just trying to pay rent and have, and I'm like, cool, good. But oh, by the way, you can always pay less rent. Do you need a 3-bedroom house with 2 living rooms and a dining room that you never use and a basement? Or do you like it? It's just choices. Mm-hmm. Choices. And I think most people don't choose their business enough.
Yeah.
Love you. Got to get to more.
Thank you.
Invest in your business and watch what your business does for you.
Hello, Gary.
Kwamiel.
Hey, I just got to say thank you so much for everything you've done, your content, your books. You've changed not only my life, but lives of people at my church, lives of music schools I've been a part of, everywhere I've gone, your ethos of everything. Just thank you so much for everything, Gary.
Thank you, my brother.
So I know you love the New York Jets. I want to talk about jets, not the jets. I want to talk about private jets. I work in selling private jets. And so my niche of qualified prospects is really, really small. Yes. A lot of local social media experts are telling me to make content I don't like to get more of an audience because it would appeal to more people to, like, you know, be voyeurs and look at private jets. So my question is, should I cast a wider net even though I don't enjoy it, or keep going deeper with content that appeals to a small audience? And I really enjoy talking to those people.
Yeah, I think the wider net strategy for something that costs as much as a private jet is a wrong mistake. I think that the way the algorithms work is the content will find a wider audience. That, like, this concept of cast a wider net, I think you need to talk in more specifics. The biggest ROI for a private jet life is time. The only people that should be buying or renting or using private jets in real life, not I want to be bougie and show everybody and I want to close my insecurity, are people that have gotten to a place where their time is more valuable than the cost.
Right. I saw that interview you did. Yeah. I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, it's real life. Like, you know, it's insane how much private aviation costs. However, luckily for 3 to 5% of the world, they've worked hard, luck of the draw of DNA or circumstance, strategy, they work smart, hard, combination both. They are now in a place where their time is worth $30,000 an hour. And all of a sudden, you're like, fuck it, this is smarter for me. And so to me, LinkedIn is your biggest place for sure, Tommy.
Yeah, agreed, yep.
I think the other thing you should do is consider using LinkedIn to do content that leads to a live event, meaning I would probably do a, you know, private jet dinner series where you do content that leads people to your website, that allows your website to capture if the person's actually a qualified lead. And then you have 8 or 7 or 6 person dinners for someone that would fit that demo. I would consider doing that because I'd be like, wait a minute, there's gonna be 7 other people there that could afford private aviation. I'm gonna go to this dinner and hear out Tom if he's a better option than what I have. But I'm also gonna go because I wanna meet the other 7 people that are there. So I think content to intimate events is something people are not doing enough of, especially in high net worth scenarios, you know?
And I appreciate that. And the thing with making the content, like, I enjoy the nerding out of here's how you do a pre-buy. Here's how you choose the right one. Here's how the documents work.
Yeah. And I mean, you should continue to pound that. And by the way, there is no casting a wider net strategy anymore. The algorithms are finding your audience. So you should post it everywhere. But I don't care if you get 7 views on TikTok.
Thank you. I agree.
I'm not here. Almost everyone this morning, I made that sound for effect because I want everybody to pay attention. Almost everyone, mainly my team, so they clip this. Almost everyone, Tommy, right now is making content for the algorithm, not the business outcome. Too many people, now, if the business outcome is brand, then I understand the algorithm. But I think people don't understand the right eyeballs. I don't care how many people watch this show. I want the right people to watch this show.
Thank you.
And I'm casting a wide net here. I'm looking for 1 billion people. You're looking at the 1% of 1%. you know, 3 to 5% that I said earlier is consideration. You know, one of 1% is actual transaction in your world.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's kind of what I keep pushing back on the social media experts.
Bro, listen to the social media experts, listen to the actual social media expert. And that's not even me. That's yourself knowing your, if you know your business.
I appreciate that.
And you've put in hours of learning what I talk about or people out there that know, then you're really the actual expert. Like, it's not about how many followers you get. It's not about even how many impressions you get. It's how many impressions that matter to what you want you get. Mm-hmm. And the more narrow you go with your content, the less views you'll get, but the more narrow the audience will become. And that's actually what you want in your business. So I would post it everywhere. And I would do best practices. You might as well have the right thumbnail. You might as well have the right copy. You might as well post at the right time. But you can't have vanity metrics drive your strategy.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary, so much. Cheers, I greatly appreciate it.
Hey, Gary, good morning.
One second, brother Marco. My boss, Sid, here is trying to whisper something. Yes, Sid.
Can you wish more people in the communities? Because we might have some time in the end, so we want to pull some people in.
Oh, really? I'm at a nice pace.
Yes.
I think I came in with the mindset of going a little faster. So, oh, Carly's birthday. Happy birthday, Carly. C-A-R-L-Y, if you want to say happy birthday in the comments for Carly on Team Gary. Okay, so we are going to actually potentially have time to, usually we have to push the people, but you're saying we may be able to have a couple more people potentially. And so 212-931-5731, text your question, use hashtag ask, I mean, tea with Gary V, and the team may jump in and pull one or two people out live right now. This is huge. First time the audience may participate, but we'll see. Marco might get me into a 15-minute answer. We'll see. Marco, where are you from? Tell us about yourself.
I'm from Cartagena, Colombia, and I'm actually living in. So I'm the founder of a travel concierge agency called San Felino Concierge, started 2 years back in my hometown. And I just moved here with my wife 5 months ago through her fellowship, and she's doing a fellowship and research here. So
here's where, brother, still Colombia or somewhere else? I didn't hear.
Right now we're in Boston.
Boston. Home of the dirty, dirty, dirty Patriots. Motherfucker, Marco, God damn it. All right, go ahead.
There you go. So my question is marketing related, and it's, I'm in the luxury travel industry, and we see everyone sort of doing the same sort of videos. Of course, you need to show the destination, you need to show, but you always see like how people enhance everything, you know, like on social media, and it becomes a standard. And videos are great, views are great, right? But it's all the same. So we really want to go around it differently. And we've been thinking, and I haven't got to the real answer yet, is how we can go around it, how we can flip that in order for not to show the same, you know, like the same
shit as everybody else.
Yeah, the same shit as everybody else.
That allows you to break through and be recognized.
Exactly.
Now, can we keep the names up the whole time? So listen, brother, I think that, Marco, that I think the question is, when you get clients, do you speak to them ever?
Yeah, of course, because we fully customize the trip.
So, Marco, you know the answer. Let me explain. How many customers have you spoken to?
Well, hundreds so far, but...
Hundreds. You know why people pick you or why they want it. You know the things that people want or why they buy. Yes.
Yeah.
Make content about that.
Yeah. It's people looking for specific things, you know, like you want to like your 50th birthday. You want.
Wait, so you need to make a video.
Bachelor party.
You need to make a video that's titled the perfect trip for your 50th birthday. And you need to speak, and then you need to maybe edit some visuals over it. Like you need to become the guy who talks about the perfect blank. The perfect vacation, the three perfect places for a bachelor party if you make less than $70,000 a year. You need to go more specific.
Okay.
You need to think back to the 200, 300 conversations you had and why and what they were looking for. And now you need to make videos talking about that at scale. I need to see from you 100 videos in the next year of very specific scenarios. The perfect bachelorette party if you want to go outside the US. The perfect 30th birthday trip for someone who's wealthy.
Yeah, the, people the, realize they're super close. Like, it's a 2.5-hour flight from Miami. It's 5-hour flight from New York, direct flight every day.
Content, brother.
It's easy.
If you don't want to make the same shit as everyone else, don't make the same shit as everyone else. The problem is people don't have the courage for it to not work at first.
Okay.
That. This is the theme of the show so far. People are getting fucked by the algorithm, not the way they think, where they're not getting as many views as they think they deserve based on their insecurity and ego. They're getting fucked by the algorithm because they're not making content that's business smart. They're trying to make content that they think will do well in social.
Yeah, because
doing well in social does not have a direct correlation to doing well in business. We've already touched on this twice.
Yeah, of course, of course. And then if I have the time, the another question I had is, in our industry, we have something that it's in financials. You're taking, in terms of margin, we manage a lot of money because we have to pay a lot of vendors, right?
Yeah,
of course.
I get it.
Also, we take care of everything. And it's always been a discussion, an internal discussion, and I've tried both ways, and I don't have the answer yet on whether we should charge or fee and then arrange for the client to pay to each of the vendors.
Well, I get it. You know this. Both can work. You've done both. Which one feels better?
Yeah, it becomes about sometimes we like doing the additional work doesn't bring us more margin, but it does bring a big upside for our client because he's just dealing with us, well, right?
So it sounds like if you're looking to build long term and have customer retention, then you're going to put out the dollars more often. If you're looking for a shorter term win, maybe you don't. I mean, both work in this business model.
Yeah.
I wouldn't overthink it. I would do whatever. You can change your mind as you already have. That there's no answer to that one. They both work in that model.
Okay.
What you need to do is make content that's specific.
Right.
Got it? What's the average cost? Some people are asking, what's the average cost that they hit you up on these trips, roughly?
It really depends. But
what's the bottom? What's the top? Give me the whole range.
For a trip, for 1 week, you're looking somewhere with luxury accommodations. You're looking at 5,000 per person, more or less. You know, 4,000 or 5,000, depending on what you pick. But this is all inclusive. Luxury or rental.
I got it.
With premium, you know, like all you can drink. Premium drinks.
So if you can really, really put down the alcohol, it might be a good arbitrage.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're moving on. Thank you, Marco.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Let's keep this going. We're tight today, Sid. We got a real tight show out the gate. Big shout out to the Twitch Mafia. I see all of you in there. Keep saying what's up, Twitch.
Ramona. Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Where are you from? What do you do?
I live in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm a hypnotherapist.
Very nice. Pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, okay, I have a question, and I feel like this is perfect, the previous post. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I'm
babbling. Don't be nervous. We're good. There's nothing bad that can happen. Everything's, how's it in Delaware? Muggy, like here, like rainy, like here?
Yeah, it's dreary, but it's beautiful. I love the rain, so I'm happy.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm feeling really blocked posting on social media, especially because I'm a hypnotherapist and I'm concerned that the things I feel really aligned posting aren't professional enough, because I know that, you know, there are a lot of misperceptions around hypnosis. So I'm so concerned about being so professional. And I think it's really blocking me from authentically posting content. So what do I do? Because
can I ask you a question? Is this about people's subjective opinions, or is this about rules that you have to stay within the category of work that you do?
I think it's more about people's opinions.
That's what I thought. Thank God, because that game we can win. Maybe I can hypnotize you right now. Ready? Okay. I'm gonna snap three times, and you're gonna understand the following. Ramona, you are no longer in high school and junior high, and people making fun of you no longer matters.
Okay, so let me tell you this, like I had breast cancer. And so things that I speak about, you know, are about my body, and sometimes my breasts come up and things like that. So I'm just worried that.
I don't know if you heard, it's 2023. like breasts are like the most mundane, like, and you're coming from a medical place on this.
Yeah.
Look, I'm very empathetic, and I love you for being respectful, but you're not trying to do quadruple X porn.
No.
You're trying to help people
who
are in the same challenging situation that you're in. You're doing God's work. You're not trying to do something wrong. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with that. Like, let people be.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at this wrong. I'm empathetic to why you're looking at this way.
Yeah.
But I hope you're on here for permission to do what you know you should be doing, because that's what I sense. I think you know the answer. You're trying to, intent matters, Ramona. Your intent is to help people who are in an incredibly challenging situation. You're a gift, not a curse.
Yeah. So for businesses, it's okay. You know, it's okay to post free-spirited things. I've been posting the same stuff. You were talking about posting the same crap that everyone else is posting. I feel like that's where I'm stuck, because
so post what you want. Like, what do you like? Post what you want.
Yeah.
What do you think's gonna happen?
I'm just worried that people won't take me seriously. That I'm not professional. You know, that I'm
because you're talking about science.
But I mean, I post other things too, not just about the cancer journey. You know,
as you should. I'm a real businessman, and I post about all sorts of dumb shit. Garage selling the Jets, toy, like I don't give a fuck that people don't take me serious. I care about the results. I'm happy and successful.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you, you're stuck in high school.
Okay.
Like, so they don't take you serious. You give a shit. Let me look here. You give a fuck if Dustin doesn't take you serious, or Jared B over here in backstage. You give actual fucks if he doesn't take you serious? That's not on you. That's on him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. I've just been feeling so blocked.
Everyone feels blocked when they overvalue other people's opinions over their own happiness.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, the support you're getting in the comments right now is outrageous.
You have to look. Yeah.
Watch this. I have a great idea. Can everybody please, how many followers do you, is this your Instagram? I got a great idea. We're going to do something really smart here.
I'm just starting out, so
nobody's judging you. Again, don't worry. I don't give a fuck if you have one follower. you have 599 followers, right?
That's my personal account, and I feel free posting on there. But then when it comes to my business,
we're not posting. We want to go to a different account.
On my,
what's your business account that you're worried about? We're about to change your life here. Watch what's about to happen. What's the account on that one?
It's Rora Hypnosis.
Fuck, I can't spell hypnosis.
It's in my bio, the link to it.
There we go. You've got 245 followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dustin, please put up that. I have no idea how I actually spelled that properly. I'm very happy with myself. Okay. You have 245 followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're worried about what people are going to think, right? Right? Like, that's what we're talking about. You're worried about there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to double your following with all these nice people. Everybody, I really need you to do this. Dustin, it's not very clear here. Like, that's too small. I can't even see that. Can you put big the handle at the handle, please, Dust? Can you produce? Yeah, thank you. Like, fuck this shit. I can't even see this. Like, big Dust. Like, do it right. Big at right down here. That makes it very easy for people. Like, very, very easy. Can everybody please share right now this at Rora? Hip, H-Y-P-N.
Thank you.
So Rora, here's what we're doing, right? Like, all right, I did that wrong, by the way. You were at 245, you're now at 397, right?
Oh, wow.
Which means now you're at 405. So right now you just doubled it. And now more than half the people that follow you on this account, you're now at 446. You've now basically next minute will have more followers than that are new than you had prior to this call. Okay. You now have 500 followers. You now have more followers of nice people here who care for you and want you to win because you're part of this beautiful community than you had all prior to this moment. Do you know what that means? That means you should feel 100% free to post whatever the fuck you want. And I need your next two posts to really come from your heart and be like what you're about. You're now at 660 followers.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Gary.
Yeah. But if you want to thank me, I desperately, desperately, desperately need you
to post freely.
Because now you have 726, you have 500 more followers. You've literally you have like two thirds of your followers are now new on this account. And all loving people, they're not on this show if they're not the right type. Like your community now is like pure.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. Thank you. So much gratitude to you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Right. Laura should not be scared anymore. Said, but that's not going to happen for all of you. What just happened? That was a moment in time. Now she's up to 800 followers. That's a moment in time. That's not going to happen for that. What we have to all learn is we can't worry about people's opinions. We need to come from our intent and our heart and let the chips fall. When I started my journey in business world, people told me I was too casual. I cursed, unacceptable. I didn't wear a suit, unacceptable. The world came to me, not I came to the world. I just lived my truth in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then eventually things changed. You guys have to live your truth, not what you think the world is requiring from you. Let's keep it going.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Thank you. My question is two parts. It's actually not so much about social media or growing a brand or anything like that. It's a post-COVID question. So I own a couple businesses. And so my question is, what is your view of the labor force mentality post-COVID? That's the first part.
Well, I think, Joaquin, I think most people's work ethic has been altered by the fact that we work at home at a high percentage, which creates a lot of opportunity to hide if one wants to. The government sent checks to everybody. So people got used to, wait a minute, like I can get paid to stay at home. You have an entire generation of Gen X, millennials and Z who grew up in a different era and different eras, so they have different mindsets. And then within generations, you have very different people, so you can't generalize. But overall, I think that we haven't flushed out the economic pain of printing so much money during COVID. And so we're in this weird place where half the workforce is entitled and half the workforce realizes that they have an opportunity to gain market share by working hard. And it's a real mix and everyone's situation is different. But if I'm talking net workforce, it's a little tricky right now, and we're going to feel pain from that because businesses are not as efficient. You know, there's plenty of people that work their ass off from home, but there's enough that don't, that the efficiencies of businesses and what they're paying for are down. And so we're in an interesting spot. Like we're in a shit hits the fan moment in 24, 25, 26, where we're going to have to reset. And so, you know, I think it's a wild mix, you know?
Yeah, I do agree. My businesses aren't really work from home type. I'm in the hospitality industry. Yep. So for me, I need bodies. You know, I need cooks, I need servers, I need baristas. Yeah,
and as you know, not only has that mentality shifted, a lot of these cooks and servers now know how to make more money online. So it's not just the missteps of the governments around the world of printing more money during COVID and not letting people live within their means, because all those checks, you know, think about the reason we're having all this fluctuation is we sent all this money to people and they went out and bought Dom Perignon and, you know,
right.
And, you know, Chanel, not food and electricity. And so, but also let's not be confused. In the hospitality business, there's a lot of people that have figured out how to make more money online, flipping stuff on eBay or becoming influencers and creators that make them more than 20 bucks an hour, 15 bucks an hour, 12 bucks an hour, 25 bucks an hour. And so, you know, as they have more options, they're going to choose those options. And so this is a macro trend.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I, you know, I ask always, you know, in the interview, you know, tell me a little about yourself, and the majority of the, you know, the barista age demographic, they want to be influencers and they want to be YouTubers, and, you know, and so it's super hard for
there's a way for you to flip it though. Why don't you start hiring and put a help wanted sign that says help wanted influencer creator/barista? Then people come in and they're like, what the fuck is that? And you're like, listen, while you're at the stand, you know, the host, the hostess, while you're working your 9 to 5, you can use my restaurant as your content studio. You know, most employers are like, get off your fucking phone. You could flip it and be like, hey, you've got this whole restaurant as your production facility. You're gonna get paid. And as long as you're taking care of my customers and doing what I need to do operational, every time there's downtime, make fucking content. Maybe tag the location. Go ahead.
That's the balance, is like, I think we've lost a lot of work ethic. I agree with that, because we do that already.
That's an ideology. This is shit I talked to my dad about with Wine Library. Yeah. That's an ideology. Everything I said is true, but I'm not emotional about it. I don't need people to work hard. I don't give a fuck. I don't care what my feelings are about how much money we gave people or why they have better options or that we've lost work ethic or Gen Z is into. I don't give a fuck. I'm a fucking businessman. So what I'm going to deal with is the reality of the situation. And if I have to change the way I operate my fucking restaurant, my dad's liquor store, I'm opening a restaurant in a month in New York City with VCR group called Little Maven in Midtown. And a couple of months later, we're opening up the Flyfish Club. I've got tons of restaurants in my world coming, right? And what I'm telling my partners who are operating is leave your old ideologies at the fucking desk, because it's a new world. And it's also practical, you know this, brother. I don't want the hostess or host, or I don't want the barista, or I don't want the waiter to be making content while Sid or you are sitting there frustrated. But when there's downtime, like if we have a lull, if there's a mid-afternoon lull, it's better that they're making content for you.
And
you
can
hope that they go viral and quit, because then you can use them as an example for the next person. I would have them in the fucking, I would be like at SallyPants49, be like Barista Bitch 16, be like Barista Boy 9. I would put them in my fucking job description to get people excited that they found a boss and an environment to make content that allows them to go live their dream.
Yeah, no, we're doing that now. My question is more on the mindset of, you're right. Okay, so you're right with front of the house. I agree with that. Let's talk now about back of the house, cooks, right? Like you can't necessarily always have your cook while plating pulling out his phone or filming the saute grill, right?
Hear me out. If you create hard rules that are like, hey, any moment of downtime that does not affect the customer's timing.
Yeah.
Changes the game.
Yeah.
Or you have to change your business model. If cooks are more expensive now because nobody wants to be a cook, well, we are all going to pay more for food. You're not the only one dealing with this.
No. Yeah, I agree with people that totally.
This is where people don't get it. Where like, they're like, oh, we got to do it for this. Cool. But it all then comes down to, you know, our costs. And by the way, we're only 15 years away from cooks being robots.
That's the challenge, really, is where do you find like the work ethic and to pay someone what they're worth?
I'm gonna help you on something that I can sense.
Okay.
You will be in a totally different place if you leave your ideology at the door.
Okay.
There's unlimited people that are willing to work hard in Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decided that they're all entitled or nobody wants to be a cook, then you're dead because you're spending energy on that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you and I came up. It was a different world. You and I would have not come up this way if we had this world. And guess what? Yeah. Our great grandparents came up harder than us.
Of course.
I don't want to hear fucking 2023 bosses crying about, well, 20 years ago we had it. It's over. Charge more, change it up, pay your cooks more, you know, which then pass on the cost to me. Let me pay 25 cents more for an orange juice and let me spend an extra $2 on steak. Like, it's just real life. Pass on the cost to the fucking consumer.
Yeah.
Everybody in New York wanted the Uber drivers to get, you know, more money. Cool. Let me just tell you what's happening. All the Uber deliveries are way more expensive for food.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
It's not like it's going to just, I love when people are like, yeah, stick it to the business. It's better. Cool. As a consumer, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think you've got a lot of moves, brother. I think the number one move you need to start with is don't give a fuck. It is what it is. How many cooks do you need? Real talk.
No, I need probably 11.
Good. I promise. Where do you live?
Miami, Florida.
I promise on my fucking everything that you can find 11 cooks. You just need to go ham with content, Indeed, LinkedIn. You just need to hustle.
Yeah, it's just different, you know. I mean, I'm sure you hire. It's just the mindset is so different that
emotional. You're emotional. It's different 8 out of 10. Okay. Somebody just immigrated to Miami just now, just this second, who will fucking rip their arm off to be a cook for you.
I agree with that.
Okay, so instead of crying, you know, dwelling, spending your energy being like, fuck, like every minute that you spend talking to your buddy or another guy who or gal who owns a restaurant, be like, fucking shit, every second could be a second of you making content on the internet or hanging up signs in lower income areas to pull you on a job. Like, you, like, your work ethic needs it up.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Right? You know, I love how you took that. Like, that's on us.
No. I look, buck stops with me. You know, that's the truth. And it's like, you know, so we post on Instagram, we post on Indeed. Here, let me just throw this out. If this is a great example because this has happened last week. If I fill out in an Indeed format and then I accept 27 cooks to come in to interview, how many of those 27 cooks that confirm their interview time do you think actually come in?
7.
It's less, it's like 4.
Okay.
So, and then out of those.
But okay.
Yeah. Like,
bro, you don't think I know? My dad is ripping his fucking 2 last hairs out of his head getting stock eyes at Wine Library. I've got people like Vayner's different because just like everybody wants me in social media. So we're on the other side of this. We have unlimited people applying. Yeah. But I'm involved in a billion businesses and I'm on the boards of stuff and I'm watching the economy and I follow youth culture and immigrant culture and boomer culture. I watch the world. I know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
The problem is get 97 people to apply. You need 11 cooks.
The numbers game, right?
And by the way, is Indeed the right place to get cooks? Because Indeed's a bougier place that probably leads to people not showing up. I think you need to go fucking to a strip mall in a lower. Yeah, that's exactly right. Craigslist is better than Indeed. And brother, if I'm you, no bullshit. Give me 1 second. Like, if I'm you, I make this sign, right?
All right, yeah.
I go to fucking Kinko's and make 1 million copies, and I literally, me myself, Joaquin Ortiz, go to lower income strip malls around Miami and fucking put them in the fucking cars, put them on the dust stop, like, fucking let's go. You're in control.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know you can do this. You can get 11 by doing this shit, not fancy shit.
Yeah, heard that.
My man, cool. Love you. All right.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great first episode of Tea with Gary Vee. I'm really happy. I got some entrepreneurial tactics out. Like, fucking make a sign. Yeah. Like, that's how you fucking do it. And Joaquin felt it. Like, I loved him on that. Like, everybody, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoy doing it. We're back with details and information, both in the macro and the micro. This show's macro, micro. We started with mindset. We ended with dirt tactic. And everything in between, that is the truth of how this game is played. Do not get caught up in your ideologies. We'll see you shortly. When are we back? Next week? Should we be able? We'll find something next week. We'll be back next week. We'll promote it. Please share out the link of this show. As soon as it ends, it becomes a YouTube show. I'd love for you to go to Twitter, take the URL of this, share it, and tell everybody your favorite part. I'll retweet 5 or 6 for promotion and awareness of Tea with Gary Vee. It's back. We'll see you next time.